Good morning, everybody. Wow, it snowed. We still got people showed up for church. What a good thing. Let's see. Let's start with 352, please, and let's stand. 352. Heavenly Father, what a beautiful day. Fresh, clean snow, Lord, covering the earth. Sunshine, Lord. It ain't bitter cold. It's just a winter day, Lord. But you give it to us, and it's special. It's precious. It's an opportunity to be here in your house today, Lord, to worship you. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Food and raiment you give us, Lord. Homes to live in. Protection every day, Lord. You're there always, Lord. We can cast our cares on you, Lord, because you care for us, and we thank you so much for it. Thank you, Lord. Our pastor made it in today, and the rest of us, Lord. The opportunity to clean the snow off, Lord, we got that done. Lord, guide and direct pastor as he's about to speak. Lord, give him the power he needs to deliver your message. Thank you so much, Lord, for the soul that was saved last week. I pray, Lord, that we might see another person maybe today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for many that might show up that would need you, Lord. I just pray the Holy Spirit would work on folks today and have his way with our service. Thank you so much for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's see. Page 63, please. See, the 24th is personal evangelism. The 26th is Wilton Bible study. The 29th is a music meeting after the evening service, so don't forget that. Women's Bible study on the 7th of February at 6 o'clock in the evening. Fellowship at the end of this month. Kids team is Autumn Sharon. We're short one person, so hopefully we'll get some volunteers for that. And our annual business meeting, talk about that already, March 8th. Pastor's Thought of the Week, have you evaluated your stewardship of God's blessings and resources He has placed in your hands? The guys you come forward, we'll take up more than offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we got a chance to come to your house, Lord, to worship. Thank you, Lord, for the time. Thank you for the beautiful day, Lord. All that you do for us, Lord. We could spend hours thanking you, Lord. Just ask you to be with the gift and givers. We take up this offer now, Lord. Especially be with our pastor in here a few minutes as he speaks, Lord. Just guide and direct. Be with our service today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, Kay's going to have special music today. Thank you.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls. Since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Every need He is supplying, plenteous grace He bestows. Every day my way gets brighter. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
Off our morning worship today with that song that Kay has brought us to. This is a good opportunity to look inside ourselves this morning. Is your walk with Jesus in that mode this morning? The longer you've been with Him, do you desire Him more and more? Or is your walk today cold with Jesus? And by the way, if it's cold with others, It's cold with Jesus because Jesus is interested in everyone and he loves all people and he knows and cares about where you and I are at in our walk today. Anyway, there is help today, right now, in Jesus Christ if your walk is not with him as it should be. Don't worry about others, but worry about your own first and then others. Anyway, in that sense, that is important. Well, I do greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. You know, there's times when I say some things that are somewhat controversial, but as I go around people, especially on a day when there's snow, and by the way, folks, we ought to be having a hallelujah, amen. We should have been singing these hymns, jumping up and down this morning in our joy for the Lord. Because you know what? I heard something. I taught school one day this week, and the principal came on the intercom in the morning and said, "We thought there'd be a snow day today that school would be canceled." I said to those students, "Are you kidding me? It's 32 degrees and it didn't even snow." But here's what I've said to some people before. You know something? Think about this. There's no snow in hell. Quit complaining. God sent this and he sent it for a reason. And this is nothing, folks. We are so blessed. We have so much to be thankful about. All we look is at the doom and gloom. Let's look at the blessings. There are out there, my friends. But welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're going to continue on with a message that was begun last week. And it is the title of it is The Lost Children of Fundamentalism. If there's someone that wasn't here last week or you've lost your note sheet or you're interested in it, one of the ushers will get one of those to you. Just raise your hand. I believe it is a very important message. I believe it is still an ongoing situation. I'm going to close this message today with hope because I believe there is hope in Jesus Christ, but we have to look at the past, we have to look at the present, we have to deal with reality, and we have to deal with the reality of God's Word. But if we will stay grounded in God's Word and do it the way He says, folks, we will never be sorry. By the way, I am excited. Last Sunday, we had a young man that professed faith in Jesus Christ. We ought to be praying for each other. We need to be praying today for each other too, as well as if there would be one in this group this morning that does not know Christ as Savior. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. God is calling you today, and he is there with his arms open to welcome you into his family and to be born again and see your sins be made white as snow. What better day than February? Or wait a minute, Kim, I'm going to be in trouble again. It's January. And it is the 22nd of January in the year of our Lord, 2003. No, Kim caught me on that. 2023. See, I'm still about 20 years behind. Anyway, but Jesus is right on time and he's relevant. Anyway, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to go to prayer today, and this is a worship service to show again our worth that we see in the Lord Jesus and to raise him high and give him praise and honor that he is due. So we'll pause for just a few moments as we adjust our hearts, and then we'll have just a little bit of a pastoral prayer here in general. Pray with me today. Pray again that God's will and his love will be forthcoming to all those that are around us this morning, and Lord, for our community and families and all the people that are in need within and without the gathering here known as Fruitland Baptist. So let's go to prayer, and then we'll begin. Lord God, as we take these few moments now to quiet our hearts before you, Lord, we contemplate on you. We want to look you face to face today, Lord. Lord, this is a day like all days that are there by your grace. This is a day that, Lord, as we examine our lives and examine your desire for us, Lord, that you would bring us into tune one with another. We thank you for this communicative venue of prayer, whereby we can come with our intimate spirits before the throne of your Spirit, Father God, on the basis of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for what you have afforded for us this day. We lift your name on high this day. Lord, we acknowledge what a wonderful God you are. We acknowledge also, Lord, that we are a sinful and broken race with no hope other than the hope that you gave us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We sang this morning, "My hope is in the Lord." I trust every soul in this auditorium this morning meant that, Lord, that it wasn't just a song that was done to get to the end of the program, but that they came today to worship you and to be fed on your word. Lord, we acknowledge, though, there are troubles in our midst, Lord, in our church, as there are in all the churches where people that are troubled gather. But we also acknowledge, Lord, today, that you can bind us together, that you can heal the wounds. Lord, we have families that are rent in two. We have churches that are rent in two. We have a nation that is rent in two. We have a world that is rent in two. And largely, Lord, these are divisions that fall among those who follow you and those who do not. But Lord, for those of us that are followers, I pray that you'll give us unity and strength, Lord. Compassion for one another, understanding for one another, patience for one another, and all the other things that your word teaches. Now, Lord, we know that we've addressed some of what's going on inside our doors. Now we also understand what goes on outside of our doors in this world, Lord. And it's a world that is torn there once again. But Father, we know that you are the one who can heal them. Give us, Lord, a missionary heart, whether it be right here at the doorsteps of Fruitland Baptist Church, the doorsteps of our home, the doorsteps of our community, neighborhoods, and city, right on out through the rest of the world. As you ordered us, Lord, you did not give that as a suggestion. You told us to be about your business. So I pray today, Lord, you would jog our hearts. And then always, Lord, for one that may need today here to understand their need for salvation and the provision that you have in their salvation, whereby sins are forgiven, they are covered by your blood, Jesus, and we are no more held to an eternal death sentence because of our very being, which is sinful. So we thank you and praise you for that today. Lord, we know in our number there are some that were hindered today by the snow. Lord, we know that fear in many cases today overrules our faith. And I'm not saying that necessarily about those that are not here, but Lord, help us to operate by faith, to trust you, Lord, to not take the things of the flesh as the authority in our lives. Lord, there are others that are ill today in a physical sense, some that may be spiritually ill. As always, Lord, some that may be grieving, some that are lonely, fathers, others that may be confined in care centers, all types of situations that affect the human experience. We thank you that the salve and the balm of your love for us covers all those things and heals those wounds. Now, Lord, I pray for the preaching today. Father, again, I am not brought here to make everyone like me, but I am brought here to speak the truth. I pray you'll help me to do that. But I do hope that we'll love each other, Lord, because we are accountable for that to one another before you. But today, Lord, this is a relevant message about what has taken place and is taking place in our day in the church. And I pray, Father, that you'll jog us to action about this, that where we need to go to repent, we will. And Lord, we pray for those lost generations. In many cases, our own children or grandchildren, Lord, and maybe even peers that are no longer a part, that made a profession but are no longer a part of your local gathering. Now, Lord, I need your help. You know I'm weak, but you're strong. And so I'm going to go in the power and might as you do it through the Spirit, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, if you're on your note sheets, I'm not going to recap everything that was on there. You can listen to the message on the internet for that. But basically, what we are just talking about today is a continuation of what's taken place in many of the Bible-believing churches in the last couple of generations. And the beginnings of this go back even further into the late 1800s. And I just want to say this morning as we begin, that the Word of God must reign supreme in the lives of believers and in the lives of Bible-believing churches. And folks, much of what we have seen take place that I am illustrating in this message has to do when people began to doubt the authority and the authenticity and the inerrancy of God's book called the Bible. I stand as one of you today who believes in the authority of the Bible. And that is how I will continue to do and what I will continue to do. And I believe the Bible is a book that is unfathomable to the most scholarly attention that you could give it in a lifetime. Yet it is simple and plain enough that we can pick up the doctrines, the truths that are illustrated within that, and see how they can be applied in our lives. And so that's the basis I will always go on. But folks, that has not been the case, and it is not the case in our nation and in this world. Because we have a world that is filled with humanism. And I like to say this in some situations when I've walked into a meeting. I've felt a meeting that was filled with testosterone or estrogen. Do you understand what I'm talking about here this morning? Sometimes I talk a little different than normal people. But to put it in plain, simple terms, a lot of people are full of themselves. They're hung up on themselves and their thing. We better get figured out sooner than later. We better be hung up on God's stuff, folks. You know, there's too much human influence, and that's what happened to the Bible. For those of you that may have never heard these terms before, there's a term called higher criticism of the Bible. That's where men reinterpret the Bible. And folks, there's only one interpretation of the Bible. It's the right interpretation. And that right interpretation only comes from the master teacher, who is who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what, folks, we looked at some verses last week. We better be students of the Word, and that's not just to come and hear it glossed over. We better examine this Word because we have an obligation to know if it's true and what it says. I'm telling you, I'm doing the best I can here to do that in this church, but let me also tell you, I'm faulty because I'm still in the flesh. And I can't say this enough times. You won't be able to blame Pastor John, even though he may be to blame. But you and I are responsible before God to know what this Word says. And I believe this today, folks. You can find the truth because this book is the truth. It is the truth. And Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And that's what this book says. All right, enough said about that. Let's go into the teaching here today. I've given you several things. By the way, today's message will be a little shorter on Scripture because I gave a lot of that in the message last week. But you want to revert back to that and look at it, the basis for all this, how it all came about. So today we continue on with the question, where's the people? Last week I asked you how much bigger, or presented to you, a proposition that Fruitland Baptist Church would be 4 to 6 times larger than it is in numbers today if we had only retained our children through the generations. Is that not a sobering thought? It does two things to me emotionally. It makes me sad. And the other side of it, it makes me angry. What is the matter with God's people? Why have we not gotten these things, and why have we not done anything to correct them? Anyway, let's go on today. This is what's happened in many churches. And I can't re-preach the message, but item E here on your list. In many cases, there's been a limited marriage pool in many churches leading to marriage of those not of like faith and practice. And here's the thing that you always want to remember. And I told you, we don't do many weddings anymore. And we could debate that. We could talk about that in another sermon. Marriage is not in favor today, but let me tell you, with man, but with God, it still is. And he will never change on that. Marriage didn't come from the courthouse. Marriage didn't come from the United States. Marriage didn't come from the Judeo-Christian background. Marriage came from God in the Garden of Eden. He said, the two shall be one flesh. Folks, we've lost that. But here's the problem, folks. I've heard this from a lot of people over the years. And this is what they've said. Well, there was no one in my congregation or my sphere of influence that I liked or loved, okay, for a mate. They didn't have the right looks. They didn't come from the same background. We'll talk about that more later. They didn't come from the same economic strata. I can't stand her mother. I can't stand his father. I don't like the way they operated. I don't care for their family. These are brothers and sisters in Christ that are professed. And so we go out into the world and we look for someone that fits our specifications rather than God's. Now let me tell you something today, and I'm not going to point my finger at you, but I'll raise it. By the way, I do that yet on the steering wheel. Hiya. One finger salute, but the right finger. If you get some notion in your head that you can marry, an unsaved person and you can lead him to the Lord, get that notion out of your head. Because it's faulty thinking. It may happen once in a great while. But God tells you in His Word, don't get yoked up with unbelievers, number one. And it's not just about salvation, that's the big thing. But the biggest thing is, we come from different backgrounds and different cultures, and it doesn't work. But let me just say this, you never make a mistake, or you may make a mistake, but it is not always going to be recoverable because God told you not to do it in the first place. And the other thing is that is almost always, 90% at least, and I didn't do a concise calculation, that you will find you will never bring someone else to your plateau. They will bring you to theirs. Did you hear what I said? If you're here spiritually, but you become engaged with someone that's here spiritually, you will come down to their level 90% of the time or more. It's like this. Folks, you get involved in a relationship, and like I told you, I think last week, hogs go for the crack in the gate. Let's use a Sunday morning scenario. You get involved with a less spiritual person than you, or someone who is unsaved in a relationship, and you know, things go pretty well while the kids are little, and one of the partners takes someone into God's sphere of influence and involves them in the church. But guess what? When they become teenagers, and there are some teenagers in this room this morning that I can see are moving into that phase where they begin to question what their parents say. And you know what will happen? Soon, you'll see them looking at that split and they'll say, well, so-and-so doesn't go, why should? Folks, marriage is a together proposition. All relationships are a together proposition. It will not work. And that's what's happened in the church. Number one, we have not cultivated an atmosphere, and we don't make matches for people. And you don't have to marry someone from your own congregation, but you need to be doing what? Looking in the right places for your mates. And folks, that has not happened. And I'm not going to give illustrations from the pulpit, but you could count off many people. You could probably use both hands to do the numbers. You know, in school, I said, you got to get over those numbers on the hands. You got to get it up here. But the fact of the matter is, we got to get that right. And that's what's happened. And in many cases, there has been a limited marriage pool in the Bible-teaching churches. How do you change that? Well, one of the things, and we'll talk about this at the end of the message, again, to tie this all together, we need to be reaching souls for Christ. You want a bigger pool of people in the church? Reach the people. See them come to Jesus and incorporate them into the church. Many of the Bible preaching, teaching churches have been in rapid decline for a long time. And everyone has done what about it? Oh, Pastor, I pray a lot about it. Well, that's good. But you know what? Action. Engaging with people. Engaging with your children. Reaching people, seeing God work, that's what's real. Remember last week we talked about genuine things. That's what our generations that have come after us want today. They want the truth, and they want it to be genuine. Don't sugarcoat things, but tell me what's really going on. And I'm telling you this morning, that's what's happened in the churches in one of the cases. Be very careful about relationships, but there's been a limited marriage pool in many churches by choice. Not always, but in many times by choice. Second point, point F, for this morning anyway. Folks, and I could get in a lot of trouble, and I usually am in a lot of trouble. But you know what? I just told Kim again last night, I'm going to stand for Jesus Christ. And you know what? If it takes me down, it takes me down. I won't be the first one. It took Jesus down, didn't it? No, it didn't take him down. He was victorious because he stayed on that cross for you and me. Praise God. But folks, this is a problem in our day, and some of you may not agree with it. You don't have to come here and agree with me, because I'm still going to love you. The Lord tells me to. But listen, that's all I say. Hear what I'm saying. Think about it. But here's point F. And some of these, there might have been a fill in the blank. I've got it up here, but I don't want to stop. But economic influence and the social welfare state. You wonder what's different about today's environment and the environment that we've had increasingly through the 1930s on in America? Well, I'm going to explain that to you today. Prior to those times, there was no welfare state. There was no social rescue network that was from the government. The social rescue net was in the body of Christ and the believers. Whether you were saved or not saved, when you needed help, you turned to Jesus Christ's people. We can't do that today, can we? We could. But you know what? When there are people in need, Jesus tells us to help people. He says, give them your coat. You know? He says, give them what they need. Help the poor. Help those who are hungry. But the problem is, folks, we also have to understand that the church must stand for truth. And the church must not endorse sin. I'll give you just a very simple thing here, folks. If there's a situation that came into the church, and by the way, the church acts together. Here at Fruitland, we're congregationally governed. Yes, we have deacons and trustees and a pastor, but they don't run the church. The congregation runs the church. And here's the scenario. You have someone that comes to you and says, hey, pastor, hey, congregation, I'm hungry. My family needs food, and we need help. And what's the first thing you say? I'll help you. But we go several months, and we know that this person is involved in blatant sin. And here's the one I'm going to describe. He or she or whoever the person may be refuses to take a job. Well, I'm not going to work. By the way, we talked in our Sunday school class this morning. I mentioned a banker that I read the other day makes $35,000 a year. Jamie Dimon, $35 million plus a year. Brenda, we don't use that kind of math at Wilton. I never use that math on the farm. Usually on the farm, it had brackets around it. I had the boys do a rough calculation. They're thinking somewhere around 10 grand a day. Anyone else make that kind of money here? That's a lot of Jack. But the fact of the matter is, there's some people that pull down substantial salaries. But back to my scenario there, the guy says, you know, they offered me $1 million a year for a salary, but I'm not going to go to work until I get $2 million. I'm being facetious here, folks. What does the church say to someone like that? You say, thus saith the Lord, he that does not work does not eat. Work is good. Write that in your notes. Work is a four-letter word. Work is good. Work came before the fall of man. But God wants that. His illustrations through time. Are we to be uncharitable? But no. If someone goes for months and months and says, you know, did you go and get a job? No, I couldn't work that into my schedule. By the way, it always seemed to fit in my schedule. But what do you tell that person? Friend, you show them what Paul wrote to Timothy, and you say, you know, we can no longer help you. We can no longer reinforce your sinful behavior. We love you. We are not against you. But you need to what? And again, there's all kinds of things. In fact, we always want to be charitable. We want to be kind. But folks, this is what's happened in America. The influence of the church is gone. Because the influence of the government is where people are at. And here's what I've got written in here. In those days, the welfare programs initiated in our government have bypassed the church. Now people do what the government says because that's where the stuff comes from. People have help. They have available credit. By the way, credit as we know it today was never available even 50 years ago. True? For some of you old timers, you didn't have a credit card. You could go. By the way, younger folks, this was not there in the days gone by. You had to make do with what you had. You could not buy things before you could pay for things. It was called saving. Today, folks, I understand that. You know, well, it's coming back into fashion a little. I'm told you can get 4% or more on a CD now. There was a time you could only get about 0.2% not long ago. You couldn't say, and still, folks, let's be real about this. If inflation's at 8%, by the way, I think we're being lied to by our government. It's double that at least. $7 eggs. Okay, do you buy eggs? We have chickens we could rent you. Urban chickens. I think it's great. But tell me, weren't eggs about $1 a dozen a year ago? Now again, my Wilton mathematics don't allow me to calculate the difference between $7 and $1. But I think it's 70% inflation. But folks, if you're getting 4% in your CD and inflation's 8 to 15%, you're still losing how much money a year? Don't be duped. But let me finish because we need to finish this today. There's no question, though, people are not forced to stay aligned by anything today. Really, you're not. And it's a lawlessness that's come upon our nation and the world. Since the 20th century, though, people have better economic resources in general. Some of you folks grew up in the 30s and later. By the way, the Muscatine Island wasn't always an easy place to live, was it, Dave? Prior to a thing called what down here on this sand? Irrigation. We're still not far enough away from people that lived in those kind of times. And it's the same thing in other different areas. My Grandpa Robinson was thankful to work on the Rock Island Railroad through the Depression for $1 a day. He still had a job. Anyway, here's the thing I want you to get out of this, folks. Supposedly, we've been given a lot of freedoms with all these economic resources, but really what it's done, it's enslaved us. Because people are in more debt than ever. And the modern conveniences haven't drawn them closer to God, they've driven them further from Him. And here's the bottom line here, folks. In many cases in our day, sin is rewarded, not resisted. Write that one down, put my name on it. By the way, I make my own messages. I mean, maybe I've plagiarized somewhere by accident. But sin is rewarded, and it's not resisted, folks. People don't have to stay in line. And that's why our churches are empty. They don't have any time for God. They've got time for everything else. That comes first. The desire of affluence has moved parents out of the home scene, which has led to less in-home spiritual influence and the weakening of the church. I got to have my boat, Pastor John. I can't live in a two-bedroom home. I got to have a five-bedroom home. And I'll use Kim. Hey, baby, get out and get to work. Or baby, to me, go out and get to work. Folks, we've messed up on our priorities are wrong. You agree with me on that? We can do it differently, but we've chosen not to. You know what? That's why people have gone and left the church. It's one of the reasons. It's a drag on their style. Point G. Oh boy, this is a big one. Turned off by church life and experiences. If you could characterize in fundamental Bible teaching churches what's happened, I've asked my children, what are some of the things you think about church life as you grew up? Well, a couple of things. Dad, you were always involved with the church. And a lot of times we were sitting with Mom waiting for you to come out of a meeting or something else. I was wrong for that. We need to be involved in the Lord's church, but it needs to be what? In balance with the priorities to our wife and our children. Second thing people are going to tell you why younger people and the generations are gone out of the church. Most of the time in the church there was what? Fighting and strife goes on to this day. We're not going to learn. till we see God open our hearts. So what if you think something about something and others don't agree? If it isn't a key doctrinal, core doctrinal issue in the Bible, we coexist. Let God deal with it. But that's the background that many people have come from. They've come from bad times in churches. They've come from bad pastors. They've come from bad parishioners. They've come from fighting. They've come from mistreatment. They've even come from sexual abuse and other forms of abuse. And don't ever think that it just happened in Roman Catholicism, because it's happened everywhere, and it's happened a lot in Bible-teaching churches. You look it up and investigate it. You think I just make these things up? There's a whole litany of history about that kind of stuff. And it happened. And let me just tell you, a lot of people may drive past this church or any other given church, and they're going to say, you know what, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to take my kids there because, you know what, I don't know what happens there. And let me just say this. One good thing about Fruitland, we do have many checks and balances, and people go through training programs that work with children. We do our best to screen things. We do our best to avoid that, and I pray to God it never happens here, but it happens, and it's happened, and it's a terrible thing. Legalism, unbiblical teaching about things that the Bible does not teach about, setting up a double standard for things. We've got to keep what we teach biblical, folks. If the Bible says do or don't, that's what God says. But if you add to the Bible, by the way, I think there's some verses at the end of the book of Revelation that say what? Don't mess with my word. When you add to it or subtract to it, God does not endorse it. And a lot of this kind of stuff has been done. And again, the last one here, there's been a lot of that, the teaching and the practice that's been legalistic, it's been unbiblical. And lastly, it's been racked with what the unbelievers and the ones that want nothing to do with the church say all the time, you're a bunch of hypocrites. It's racked with hypocrisy. By the way, let the shoe fit where it will. If the Holy Spirit's convicting you or I of that today, repent of it and set it straight. Let God change us. Folks, I think it's better in the churches today, the Bible-believing church. I think there's been a lot of ground that's been recovered, praise God. But it may not be there yet. Okay? And by the way, it takes more to this than just tinkering with it. It takes what? Real digging in the Word and real change in our lives to get it right. And then some of it, folks, we got to lay it on the line. Antiquated practices. Well, we always did it that way. Well, that doesn't mean it's right. You're looking at a time in our era and where we're at in all this that there should have been something done about this, and it has been in some churches and even here at Fruitland. But you know what? You got to back up and look at what's going on. You can't continue to do the same things and see it succeed if it's not succeeding. You never change the message. It doesn't change. But you have to, again, adapt to reaching people in the current day. And that is not like it was in the 1950s. It's got to be. We work in a world that is progressive. God is progressive. We have to illustrate how He is and why He is in the things we preach and in the things we practice. Well, there it is. Turned off by church life and experiences. I haven't heard much from you folks this morning. You think there's any relevance to this? Or is it hogwash? Tell me if it's hogwash. Anyway, next, we're moving on here. We're just about to the point of hope. Point H, home situations. You don't know what goes on in my home, and I don't know what goes on in your home. But we know what goes on in our home. You agree with that statement? There's a lot of stuff that goes on, folks. You're looking at someone here, and I've told my kids this, and my wife tells me this regularly. I'm just joking. John, you haven't done everything right. Is that true? Sure, it's true. Someone stand up this morning. Tell me, who's the first that's done it all right? Didn't Jesus say something about that? Those who throw stones don't throw at glass houses? No, he didn't say that. He said, he among you who is without sin, pick up a stone and throw it at the window. No, that's not what he said. He said, nail that poor sinner that you're against. Put a stone to him. Folks, we all should have been stoned for what we have done or haven't done. Kim is over here saying amen. Oh, okay, Kim, we'll make that known. Really, it's no joke, though, is it? We don't know what goes on in homes. There's some bad home situations, folks. You know, I've been a pastor for a while. I've been around the world a while. There's some rough things in homes. I don't mean about the cleanliness of your home, necessarily. But you think about it. I'm not going to illustrate it. What goes on in your home? Are you the same person as the person you are this morning in your home? And probably the answer for most of us is, maybe not quite. But how should it be? It should be. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy in the home. Folks, divorce. We can't. By the way, God loves people that are divorced and have struggled with that, but God never endorses divorce. That's why we got to be very careful, because it has tales that lead beyond it further that are a mess. And it's not about you. It's about others. Folks, always, always, God wants us to pursue reconciliation with one another and with Him. What about in homes where there's a lack of love? I occasionally have read accounts of that. You know what? If you don't love your children, what kind of a foundational principle do they have in your home? And I'm going to tell you something, folks. The facts show it. And you can disagree, and I'll be happy to let you disagree with me anytime. But you know what? A lot of people don't want children except for trophies. You get what I'm saying about that? Look at my beautiful children that I never do a thing with, only on days when it's for show, because I'm in the workforce or doing something else. I want them, but is that real love? I think you could make a good case that a lot of people like their children, but do they really love them enough to raise them? However you work that out in your home before God. But what I see when I go into the schools is a lot of lack of love. The problems in our schools and in our society and culture today do not originate from a lack of education or the people that do it. They originate from the homes the children come from, or lack of homes that children come from. I'm sorry if I've stepped on toes. I encourage you to get steel-toed shoes. You okay, Larry? Yeah. What about lack of biblical living and teaching? You can stand up and recite verses till kingdom come, but if you don't live those verses in front of your kids, it won't mean a thing to them. And let me tell you, we talked about abuse in the churches. There's been plenty of abuse in the homes and more, and it's not just physical, it can be verbal and in many other ways. Now again, I'm not blaming all these things for why children... I think you could have a home that had most of these in proper order, and it still might not be the case. Because let me just tell you another thing. Every person, every soul that's brought into existence is an individual soul before God. Just because their name is Brown or Jones or Wheeler or whatever does not put them on a path that's predetermined. We agree on that? Our children are individual souls. If you've done the best you could and you did a pretty good job with them in all these areas and more, let me tell you, they're still an individual soul before God, and He has to work in their heart. Anyway, I could go on and on a whole lot more, but it's time to get to the hope, because I have hope that we'll get home for dinner. So point two, why is there hope for a turnaround? By the way, folks, I believe you've already seen it. We're in a turnaround. I thank God for what we have here to work with at Fruitland. I see young kids here. I see hope, and I see hope in some of the parents. I really do. There's hope for a turnaround. And the reason there's hope is because we serve a God of hope. By the way, that's why I picked My Hope is in the Lord. I'd like to have sung that a little more enthusiastically, but some of you might have thought poorly of me if I got up here. And I think we ought to forget what I had on there for today and sing that. But sing it like we mean it today as we leave. 352. I'm trying to think. Norman J. Clayton is the author of that hymn. I didn't plan that. It's just something I've acquired. I've sung it a few times. Why is there hope? Because simply said, God's not done. If He were done with you, you'd be in glory this morning. If He was done with Fruitland Baptist Church, let me tell you, it had been closed years ago. This church will be here as long as God wants it here, no matter what happens, folks. It isn't about me, it's not about you, it's about Him. I'll guarantee that. And let me tell you something else, folks. His grace still prevails. All of us sitting here this morning have come under God's grace. He allowed it because He's merciful. And the other thing I already alluded to this morning, His grace still prevails, but His orders have not changed. No matter what people have tried to tell us since the late 1800s up through current days, God hasn't changed. And His marching orders have not changed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'll just say something else. He's not going to change. We are the ones that need to change. And let me also tell you this morning, that His church, Fruitland Baptist Church, could be closed. I pray that it won't be. I pray that God will continue to use it. I don't think it will be. But let me just tell you this. His church has not been defeated. And what I'm talking about there is His church, you know, in plurality. Because Jesus said it wouldn't be defeated against, right? Who is the defeater of a church? Satan. But Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, you check me on that reference, I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you believe what Jesus said today? If you believe otherwise, you're wrong, because that's what the Scriptures say. We're not defeated. We're just under duress. We've already had the victory given to us in Jesus, no matter what happens. You can't be defeated, only if you allow yourself to be. Jesus will help us, and we have all kinds. And you know what? We need to all do our part to get things set straight. Encourage our younger people. Talk to them about what you've been through. You know, they want to hear what you've done and what's happened in your life, not just in your career, but with Jesus. And you know what? Sometimes they can get an encouragement from that to say, you know what? I'm willing to do that if you are able to do it. Tell them what you've been through. Share with them your walk with the Lord. It might have a relevance in their life that God would want them to hear. But we need to get our part done to do things right. And here's the bottom line. We need to get our hearts and actions on the right track with God. Just like in Solomon's early days, you know, Solomon had it right for a while, and then he slipped up, and in the end he got it right. But the bad part is that whole area where he slipped up. Because what happened there when he had all the chicks and all the other stuff that was going on, he slipped up big time, and the people that were associated with him got hurt. By the way, Solomon only got to do what he did because God had grace for him because of who? His dad, his heritage. You know, there may be grace yet in our heritage that we have in the Bible-believing churches. God said, I'm going to put up with you for a little longer because of some, like I illustrated last week, that stood up for the truth. Don't ever discount that, folks. But like in Solomon's early reign, he had his heart right before he began to build the temple. I'd like you to turn your Bibles today to 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's bandied about much in our day. And there's a few that are probably getting it right. But for most, we're not. Because we don't want to really turn away from what the path is that we're on. Because if we did, there'd be what? There'd be evidence of a change. Some of you prayed on this verse on different prayer days. I know this verse very well, and it's in there. And it ought to jerk our chains, but here it is, folks. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Here God's talking to Israel. He's talking to Solomon before they built the temple, or around the time they built the temple. He's telling them, you better get right with me. That's what God tells us all the time. He says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. By the way, these are all connected here. It's not enough to go home today and just pray for things. You see, it's all connected. Humility, prayer, turn to God and look Him in the face. And turn from their wicked ways. But Pastor John, I like how I live. Do you love God? Are the ways you live in alignment with God and His ways? I'm not here to condemn or judge anyone. That's for us to do. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. This is a conditional verse because it says then. So when you see an end, you also look for an if. And we saw that at the start, didn't we? It's conditional. If my people will do this, then. Here's the delivery. What's God say? Then will I hear from heaven. See, this is the problem, folks. There's a lot of things that hinder prayer. I've preached message. I'll preach again sometime. But I'll tell you what. Even the way, if a man treats his wife wrongly, his prayers are hindered. You check that out in the scripture. And I'll take the liberty to say, if a wife treats her husband, prayers are hindered by our behavior, by our sin. We'll hear from heaven and we'll what? Forgive their sin. And we'll heal their homes, their churches, their nations. Amen, Dave. You got it. Amen. That's what it's all about, folks. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land, including the church. Here's the conclusion, and we're done early. I need one of those handkerchiefs, you know, like the TV preacher. Even hogs that wallow in the mud eventually get tired of it. That's why there's hope. I never saw a hog yet refuse to be hosed off on a hot day when they laid in the mud. I'll get a few hogs again if you want to come out and see these things, if I'm telling you the truth. But Marlon, am I telling you the truth? You never liked hogs, Marlon. But it's the truth, isn't it? Some today want to get out of the wallow. I do believe that. Let's show them the way. By the way, we got to get hosed off by the water of the Word. We got to get cleaned up. That's how it'll change us. Get into the Word. It'll clean us. There have been signs of it now for a while. I think we're in that mode. I said here last week, I think we're close to the bottom of this. It may get a little worse. But let me tell you, folks, people are going to start to look up. And we may face some of those things in this coming year that will cause you to look to Jesus. There is hope for today and tomorrow in Jesus that the lost children may be found. By the way, what did Jesus? A tornado in January? Kay's mad now. But she's got to forget. It's just an alarm that some of us have. We get alarmed about different things. We used to have a gentleman that had a clock set, a watch set here at noon. It went off every Sunday. I don't think any of you have had to do that with me. I've said what I want to say. But bottom line, I do think that things are going to turn around. But I still think the Lord's coming. And things will continue to get worse, like he told Timothy. But I think there's a few folks that know what needs done. And that ought to be us few in this room today. We know. We know what needs done. That the lost children may be found. I was going to say, Jesus would not have neglected the lost sheep. He would have gone out and what? Tried to bring them back. That they'll be found and be no more lost in the Bible-believing church. Today is none too late to get going and never give up. Correct what you can of the things we learned today where we have erred, that the lost may be found before it's too late. That is why there is hope. Our God is the God of all possibilities. Amen. 352, not what your bulletin says. Now again today, the front of this church auditorium is open. If you'd like to make a public approach to the Lord today, you know, it's not wrong to do that at all. But neither is it wrong in your own seat. If you're in need today of Jesus, if you need to be saved, today's the day to go to Him. I'm here and others are here today to help you to see from the Word what Jesus has for you. But if you need to get alone with the Lord, today's the day to do it. Don't come up here for a show. Come up here if it's real. But let me just tell you this. God's still waiting today for us to get it right. And He doesn't just wait. He says, I'll help you. I'll love you. Now we're going to sing this a little different. I hope today, again, this is a day to make decisions for Christ. Whether it be in your home, in your church, your marriage, right on down the line. Today's the day to get that done. So today, I'm enthusiastic. You don't have to be, but I'm going to sing this enthusiastically with joy in my heart for the day God's given us and for the grace that yet prevails and the hope we have in Him. Here we go. My hope is in the Lord who gave Himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary for me. He died for me, He lives, and everlasting life and light He freely gives. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a great day in the Lord. I'm going to ask today that Lonnie dismiss us in prayer.
Things around us past ourselves today, Lord. Give us all. Take us home safe. Get us back here soon.